Welcome back to our Lego chat with Graham Diamond.
We won't make you wait one more minute. Here's the rest of our conversation. I like your Pepsi can at the back.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I actually built this for Pepsi. I did an activity with them, and then had to have little trophies for the winner. So this was like the prototype, and I even got on the top. This was the prototype. So it was
that's great.
It's a little messy, but I actually I built some of these. These are decorations I built for my yard out of so there's a little elf and a Grinch.
Whoa.
I built this giant, it's got some other Lego on it. This is the arcade cabinet that I built that actually works. It's made
that's
out of
super
mostly
cool.
Green Duplo. So you can imagine.
How does it work?
So there's actually a little computer inside of it and a monitor. And then I ordered from an arcade store. You can order the joystick and the buttons. And
that's super cool.
So then, there's ways you can hook it up to the computer that's in there. It's a little Raspberry Pi computer. I'm not sure if you're from it. Anyway, it's a little microcomputer. And so I put the games on an SD card that goes in the computer. It's super tiny. It barely takes up any space inside the arcade, but most of it's just big. So that way it feels like a big arcade cabinet. And so then my kids and I will play old Pac-Man games and stuff like that on it too. Anyway.
You said you like building cities and stuff. So you know the Lego people, all the cities and everything. Have you ever had any Lego cities?
Well, when I worked at Legoland, I helped build the bit. There's a huge, what they call it, mini land. And it's the one that's there. Gosh, I'm trying to remember how many pieces, but I think it's over a million pieces in that city. I think there's about 4,000 Lego people who live in that city. And it's got lots of different landmarks from from Ontario, mostly Toronto, but including Ottawa and the Niagara Falls area too. So it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool little place to check it out. So I got to help build it. I didn't build it all. I can't say I built it all, because for one person to build that whole city, it would take them 4 years. Well, instead of doing high school, imagine you just built Lego instead of going to school. And that's how long you could go to high school for 4 years. And as long as it would take one person to build that city. So I didn't build it on my own, but I helped.
Wow.
That's kind of hard to wrap my mind around. 1 million pieces.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so it's all the design that goes into it too, that's included in those 4 years. So it's just much work.
So it's awesome, but could you tell me something that you failed or didn't really work out on the couple of times, and what did you learn from that experience?
Oh, there's lots of times that I failed, let me tell you. Failing is just part of learning, right? That's all there is to it. So it's not a bad thing to fail. And anytime I fail, I always will try and think, okay, well, what can I learn from this? I remember one time I was at a show. I was building a spaceship. I built two spaceships, and I have to finish the first one. And I was working on the second spaceship at the show. It was kind of a display thing that people could come and watch me as I'm building it over a couple of different days. And as I'm building the second one, it's almost done. This ship was kind of shaped like an oval and so it was hollow in the middle. And then there was this spear that came out of the front. Anyway, and I'm in the middle of building it, and then I wasn't paying as close attention. I was trying to talk to someone. I'm not saying it's the other person's fault. I was talking to somebody who was asking me questions at the same time, and that's normally what I do all the time. But I just wasn't paying enough attention, and I pushed down, and then it cracked like an egg, and it just went flat. And I'm you can imagine the sound, because I'm in this huge hall, and all you hear is and it echoes, and everyone's and they look over, and I'm But actually, I felt like on the inside, but on the outside, I kind of like trying to like smile and look like it's okay, it's all good. And you know what? It's true. It was all good. You know what? I can always rebuild it, and that's what I did. And you know what? One of the good things is that usually when these things fall apart, it's there. You can use the knowledge of how you built it the first time, and you can build it better and faster the second time.
To make it better.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I did. I used that knowledge. Okay. And fortunately, even when it fell apart, it was still in pretty good chunks as well. And that's kind of true when you learn, right? Because I've already learned those chunks of, like, you know, anytime you learn, even if you fail at what you're doing, you've learned little chunks of knowledge that you can build upon for the next time. So that way you could be even better the next time. So that's exactly what I did. That's how I approached it. And so I was able to rebuild that spaceship. And that's really what, anytime I fail at Lego building, that's what I can take away from it. There's been other times where I built like huge skyscrapers and I was driving to deliver it and I had it so well packaged and I thought it was going to be safe. And this one, normally, many times I glue my Lego models, but for this one, they needed it not glued for a specific reason. I can't remember why, but I didn't glue it. And so I'm driving on the highway and somebody did some unsafe driving. And so I had to use my brakes really fast. And I stopped. But as I did, so I hit a bump at the city. There was like a pothole. Nobody crashed. It was no crash. Nobody got hurt. But there was a Lego crash. And that fell in the back seat. But again, I was able to, you know, take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. It's just Lego. And it can always be put back together again. Yeah. So,
you know, it probably would have been better if you built at the spot that you had to deliver it to.
Yeah, that's a good point. But sometimes, you know what, to build, it can take me sometimes a whole week to build one of these like models at home. And so even this one that crashed, it was still in chunks that, even, you know, it fell apart, and but instead of taking a week to rebuild it, it took me only about 4 or 5 hours to rebuild it once I got to the destination.
So that's good.
Wasn't
that's
too really bad. Good. Yeah.
So talking about like stuff breaking all the time, this would probably have done something like this, but your toughest project, what do you think it is? Like your hardest project ever? Like, it doesn't even have to be when you're Lego master, just like when you were a kid or something like that.
The toughest project that I ever worked on. I would say, because there's a lot of different ones that have challenged me in different ways. It's kind of, you want to know the truth? Is sometimes I make mistakes and I make the projects hard for myself. And it's only because I often forget, I shouldn't say often, sometimes I forget to ask important questions. And I didn't ask, you know, maybe I didn't ask to follow up or something. And then they're like, okay, no, the schedule's changing. And change everything up, juggle everything around, and then I'm stuck with, okay, well, I've got to build really fast. So one of my solutions in those is, and this is a key thing too, is to ask for help. My friends, I can call on them and be like, hey, can you come and help me? I'm in a really tight spot and I need some help. And it's good to have good friends who you can hang out with and play with. And that's still, it's fun being an adult and still getting to invite friends over. It's like, hey, do you want to come over and build Lego with me?
So what is your most memorable or favorite project?
Most memorable project. So my most memorable thing I ever built was like high school, I want to say. And I built like a little Lego, like a Lego medieval castle village, which at the time I thought was really cool. And I still think it's really cool, but I didn't have the biggest Lego collection even as a kid. So I, you know, like there was one building that was like, I took all my red bricks and I made it like that was kind of the red building and the blue building and the, you know, just to make it look as best as I could, but it was still kind of like this rainbow city, which actually made it look cool in its own way, even if it didn't look like a traditional medieval village. And as I got older and my older brother moved out and then I didn't have to share a room anymore and I transformed his bed, instead of having the Lego castle under the bed, I transformed his bed frame into like a giant Lego table, and then it was good because then the pieces didn't fall off anymore. Like the table had a nice ledge on the side. Yeah, it was really fun. And so I worked on that, and then over the years, as I built up my collection and became a better Lego builder, it became like a bigger and better looking city.
Awesome.
And I kept it for about 10 years until finally when I moved, I took it apart eventually, but that was like my favorite thing that I'd ever built because it really like grew with me over a long time.
That's really cool.
The favorite thing that I built as like a professional Lego builder, it was one of the first things that I built after I left Legoland, and this company wanted me to build them a giant dinosaur.
Oh, wow.
They asked me, and I'm like, how am I going to build this giant dinosaur? And I'm like, I'll have to get back to you and see if I can get enough pieces. Because they wanted it to be like 8 feet tall and 10 feet long and like,
wow.
Like ginormous. And I'm like, that's a lot. And I'm like, I don't know if I can do it. But one of the things I always do is I don't say no right away. I'll often say like, can I get back to you and let me think about it? And just see if I can find a creative way to like problem solve. So I'm thinking like, what can I do? And then I get a message from a friend of mine named Mike. And Mike used to run a Lego, like a toy store. He used to run a toy store that had a lot of Lego in it. And he said, hey, I have all this extra green Duplo in my back warehouse. And I'm kind of, it's just taking up all the space. And if you ever want to build something big and green, you can buy it off me and I'll sell it to you for really cheap. And I'm like, big green, like how much do you have? And I'm like, do you have enough to build a dinosaur that would be say, 8 feet tall and 10 feet long and about like three or 4 feet wide? And he's like, yeah, I think you can build a big dinosaur with these pieces if you like came up with a good, clever way to do it. And so I had to do a lot of math because I bought the Duplo off. Yeah. And it's amazing because you have to start thinking about, okay, length times width times height. And what's the size of a single Lego piece? Okay, well, if I want each leg to be, you know, such a size, and I break out the graph paper and doing like measuring things over and over again. And you got to start thinking, okay, well, how am I going to make it strong enough? So, and then I'm like, okay, well, I'll use the longer pieces for the tongue, for its belly, where there's like no support between the legs and the other. And that way it'll be like extra stable. And like just thinking about different ways to make it as strong and stable as possible. And, you know, I couldn't have done it without the help from this friend either, who just, you know, it's all like one of those coincidences. That's just like almost the same. It was actually the next day that I talked to him, but it was like back to back, two people didn't even know each other. And so it was just so cool to have that opportunity. And the first time I had to tackle building something like that ginormous. And so, that's probably my like the most meaningful build because it was like the first really big build that I did, and it just came together in such a cool way.
With builds like that, do you use like Duplo bricks and Lego bricks mixed?
That's a great question. So sometimes I will use both. One of the neat things, so you can put many like Lego bricks on top of Duplo bricks and vice versa. You can put Duplo on top of Lego. The cool thing about Duplo is it's also made by Lego, but it's 8 times the size because this is getting to the math again, but you know, it's twice as high, twice as wide, and twice as long. So you take a regular brick times two. So you got one times two, times two, times two, you get 8. So instead of, you know, if I build something that like a skyscraper that I said, you know, it takes me a week to build. Well, instead, if I use Duplo, I can build it in 1/8 that time. So almost in like just under a day, like about half a day instead when I use Duplo, and it'll be the same size. Now Duplo, you can't get necessarily some of the detail though, because it's so much bigger and chunkier. It's like these big honking bricks. So that's when I'll put the Lego pieces on top to get different details. And I built this dinosaur, I built him like his eyes out of the Lego. I even built him like headphones and like an old school Walkman.
That's awesome.
Yeah, because he's a dinosaur. So he uses like old cassette tape Walkman headset and, you know, stuff like that. And funky old school glasses that he wore. And just like I built those all out of Lego and spine, like he's kind of like a little, like his little ridges on his back were made out of Lego, so I could get a more of a contoured shape and little spots on him. And his tummy was a different color, his smile and his teeth. He's a very happy looking dinosaur. He wasn't very threatening looking, but anyway, yeah. So I'll mix the two mediums together to get the desired effect and to let me build so much faster. So a lot of the times when I'm building something that's, this dinosaur was only up for like a week. So doesn't have to be. Yeah. So if I'm building something like that, it'll temporary, I'll use Duplo. I'll build it big and fast and I won't glue it. And so sometimes I do have to glue things though, if it's going to be for someone who's going to stay together a long time, or if you don't, otherwise people will start picking at it and it'll fall apart, or it might, you know, someone might bump into it and it could fall apart too. And that's not a good thing. You don't want it to fall apart. And, you know, as I said, I can always rebuild the Lego, but if it falls apart and hurts someone, I can't rebuild them. So, you know,
So, are you working on a project right now, and what is it?
Well, it's funny because with being in now whatever phase of this pandemic is right now, I had like all these like big projects lined up for 2020, and then they did like all fell apart because all these companies were like, oh, well, we don't really have money for art and things like that and displays, and people weren't going out as much. So there's less opportunities for, you know, a lot of the times I'm building something is designed to draw crowds of people together. And that's not really something that's such a good idea to do. Or I'm bringing Lego to a space and people were all building together and we're working together to collaborate and build something. Also not something that's working so well with everyone hands-on touching stuff together. So what I've been doing a lot lately is I've actually been doing a lot of like virtual Lego building sessions. So I will, it's kind of cool. Yeah. So over like Zoom or Google Meet or whatever, and I'll send Lego bricks to different people. And I've done this with adults and kids. And we'll do different kinds of workshops with Lego where I'm teaching people about how to build. And we're just doing kind of like games as well where we build with Lego. And that's kind of been one thing that I've done that has been a lot of fun and something that I didn't do necessarily the same way before. But because of this changing environment and being in a pandemic, that's kind of like what I've been doing. But I've been building a couple of other things for different clients. A lot of the times when I build stuff, like I have to sign like this fancy paperwork to say like, don't talk about what you're doing, because they want it to be like their secret then they get to reveal. So, so I can't always talk about what I'm like building right now, but I've built some of the stuff that I've built recently. Oh, like I built a giant, like built a bunch of giant maple leaves for one company for like art in their offices. You know, it's funny because this is part of my creative process is like, when I'm building something, it like takes over my brain and it's all I can think about. And then once I'm done, it's like, and it like evaporates out of my brain. And sometimes it's like, I have to talk with my wife and I'll be like, hey, what have I been building lately? And she'll be like, oh, you built this. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about all those things, because it's just kind of the way, I don't know if some other creative people I know feel this way too, but it's like kind of like, it just like goes out of my brain and then I'm already on to like, there's only so much creative room in my brain and then it's like on to the next thing.
Those workshops sound so fun. Yeah. I would love to do one sometime.
I, who knows, maybe you'll get a chance.
You've asked us how many ways to like combine six Lego bricks. I know the number is like huge. When we were in Denmark at the Lego house, at the end of, everyone got six bricks and there was a number on the counter and that it counted every set. And here I have one. It's the only one. It's like mine in the world.
And this is mine.
It's so cool.
Nice. I also, so you know what? When I went to the Lego house, oh, very cool. So yeah, you've got these little cards that come with it. You're right. So at the end of the tour at the Lego house, which is like kind of like the Lego, it's different than a Lego land. It's more like it's still fun and a lot
like a museum.
It's more like a museum, exactly. Now here's a question. On the like the second floor of the Lego House Museum, did you see the three large dinosaurs?
I did. We did. We have photos of them. They're
all right.
So cool.
So there are three dinosaurs. What were those three dinosaurs made out of? Do you remember? Like what were the different kinds of dinosaurs?
Well, I know one was made out of like regular Lego bricks. I know another one was like, I don't know how it's called, but like you can like put like these like really different types of Legos in it to make it, and like
with they gears and stuff.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And then I know one was red and black, and another one was green and black, and another one was like white and blue or something like that.
Yeah, so there's like kind of the three things that they did. There's like regular Lego bricks, then they did the Technic ones, which are like those funky ones, the gears and the different ones that don't really look like Lego. And the third one was made out of Duplo. And when they were designing those Lego set, those Lego models, I didn't build them, but they actually emailed me and they said, hey, we know you've built giant Duplo dinosaurs before. Not that I haven't built them that big, that's for sure.
They're huge.
And I was one of a couple people who they asked about, like, you know, how could we make a Duplo dinosaur really cool? And so I actually contributed different ideas on how to build that dinosaur. And the one that I think is really cool is that the claws are kind of like excavator buckets. And I said that was my suggestion. So anytime I talk about that, I'm like, hey, I didn't build anything in the Lego house, but if you look at that Duplo dinosaur and you see the little excavator buckets as claws, you can say that's because Graham suggested that would be a cool idea.
Okay, so taking a trip all the way back to the U.S., we went to New York to visit our cousins. We saw the big Lego store there.
Ooh,
there was a snake that went through the walls. Or have you seen it before?
I have seen it, yeah. I haven't seen it in person, but people have sent me photos of it. I'm hoping that next year I'll get to go see it.
Huge.
In person.
It's so big, and it sneaks all through the store, and there's Lego figures, and you can build your own. It was super cool.
Yeah, one of the cool things that they're doing now with it, too, is like you can like get your own Lego figure customized however you want it, too.
Really?
It's really neat. Yeah, so it's kind of...
like, as yourself.
As yourself, yeah. And you could, like, even draw, so like, cool. A little picture to get printed onto, like, a Lego body, like the Lego torso.
Well, that's so cool.
Well, the other thing I was going to say about the Lego house was that when I got my 6 bricks at the end of the tour, I got them in Duplo because I really love Duplo.
Oh, yeah?
So
that's cool.
Yeah, so that was kind of... And so instead of, like, the regular size, they came with a bigger, giant card with a giant... Yeah. And so the answer is for the 6 bricks is you can put them together... 915 million different ways. And that's why, yeah, it's almost a billion different ways. So they'll never run out of, like, they'll never get a billion people visiting there.
I can't believe that. That is crazy.
I know. It's pretty outstanding, I think, too. And so that's one of the things I love about Lego is, you know, we started when we were talking about how there's so many different ways to play with it. And even if you only have 6 Lego bricks, you could play with those 6 pieces for the rest of your life and never build the same thing twice, which is kind of weird and wild when you think about it, but super cool.
Yes. So your 6 bricks are technically your own creation. That's crazy. But my favorite part of the Lego house was when my entire family built a fish and we just put it into the wall. And then there's a screen that acted like a fish tank of all the Lego fishes. And I spotted every single one that our family made, and then I was wondering if you made one of those too.
I did do that, yeah. So one of the cool things was when I went to the Lego house, it was in 2017, yeah, and it was actually before it officially opened to the public. So I got to have like a bit of I wasn't like the first people. They did a couple of different rounds of sneak peeks, but I was part of a group that got to do like a pre-opening sneak peek tour of it. It was pretty cool. And so, yeah, the best part was that there weren't like huge crowds of people there. So I could do whatever I like, go from here, like here to there, whatever. And so I did like a whole bunch of different like wacky fish. And then it takes like a picture of your fish. I don't know how it does it, but somehow it does. And they're like, what is it? You hold it up to the wall, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, bloop, and it becomes your fish. Like your fish all of a sudden, like bricks become like this fish in the wall.
It's just gone, like straight into the wall.
Before we end, is there anything you would like to ask us?
So what are you building right now? Like, what have you been building lately?
So the most recent thing I've built, it was the dragon I told you about, with the wings and the Harry Potter, and I got all the champions, so that's cool.
The most recent thing that I ever built was the Razor's Crest, and it's been my biggest set that I've ever built. But my dad got a typewriter, and It came with a free McLaren Lego car. And the Lego car, I was super excited to make it, but it's only for, like, looking at it. Like, there's no track that you can put it on because Hot Wheel track's not big enough and a bunch of other track just can't fit it. So I want to make a Lego track, but it has studs. I don't want studs. I want the flat Lego pieces to make it so they can go down super fast like a regular Hot Wheels track.
Oh, that's really cool. The pieces, yeah, you're right. So the bumps on the top, we do call those studs. And the ones when there's no studs on top, those pieces, they're like nice and smooth. We call them tiles, which kind of makes sense. And then there's like the thin pieces that are like the same, like they're just as thin as the tiles, but they have bumps on top. And we call those plates. So they got your brick is the thick ones, and you got plates and tiles. Those are a little extra bonus Lego knowledge there for you and your audience.
Cool. Thank you.
I always loved making stories with them. One of the things when I was telling you about like that, and when I was in high school and I started building my like Lego castle village, there was also, because like I had other kinds of things like my space Lego and pirate Lego, the pirates would come, I had to build like a little dock for the pirates to come visit. And then they'd like have to fight the pirates. But then there was like the spacemen would come. This was like even before they had like Star Wars Lego and all these other like themed Lego sets. So I had to build my like own spaceship set. Like there was just like generic spaceship, but I'd also build like Star Wars characters out of Lego too. And there'd be like my own version of Boba Fett and Luke Skywalker and stuff. Anyway. And so then they'd invade. And then I built like this little mountain. I'm like, wouldn't it be cool if like the spacemen lived inside the mountain in secret? And then anyway, so they were there, then they had to protect like the village from like time travelers, and it got like even more wacky and crazy, and that's what I love about Lego is that you can bring all these different wacky crazy ideas and worlds together, and you can make it your own and have so much fun with it, and you know, there's no limit to what you can do, and it's exciting to hear what you're doing with it too, because that's, you know, you could take what's been built before, rebuild it, you can take what you've built, reinvent it and reimagine it in new different ways, and it's your own thing that, you know, we'll never see again.
Thank you so much. We had such a good time.
Thank you so much. This is a really exciting interview, and it was definitely one of my favorites so far.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you both so much. And I look forward to hearing more of your awesome podcast. Keep up with it. You know, just keep on going with it. I can't wait to hear who else you're interviewing next.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, that was a fantastic interview. Xavier, what did you think?
I loved it. It was so cool. I loved it I loved the part when Graham told us how to become a Lego master and that there's so many different Lego titles. I also love that Graham gave us such good Lego tips, like using the minifigure legs as a three-way part to make it. I could have so many different Lego legs and put them all together and make a spiral. It's super cool.
It's crazy that he can build almost anything out of Lego. It's cool that he builds things for brands like Pepsi, like the Pepsi cup he showed us. His story about his huge imagination where he mixed knights with wizards and just kept adding it to over the years was cool to hear about, and I love that he kept it under his bed.
It was so much fun to talk to a real Lego master. He's inspired me to build more Lego, and we hope it has inspired you too.
Thank you for listening, and I know all the shows you listen to probably say this, but please rate the podcast and download the episode. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram, that'll be in the show notes. And if you want to say hi to us, we'd love to connect with you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Curious Conversations.
Bye!